How many of you were here 2 weeks ago when I was speaking about the God of the pause? All right. Well, if you missed that, I encourage you to go back and watch that. You can watch it on our Rhema USA app, or you can go back on Facebook and watch it, because this is part two of that. All right. So we're just going to kind of continue on. And so, you know, some of the examples that we looked at 2 weeks ago, we're going to relook at those just in a little bit different light. Okay. So today we're going to talk about when seasons shift, in our lives, recognizing and responding to divine transitions. Amen. You know, you can feel when seasons begin to change, right? How many of you are ready for fall, right? How many of you are ready for this rain to kind of shift and move on out, right? I mean, it's good. We need the rain. We need it all. But you know, when seasons in the natural, they begin to shift, you feel a difference. You know, the air feels cooler or it feels a little bit warmer. You know, in the fall, the leaves turn beautiful colors. And it's just like everything around you, all of God's creation, is just whispering, something new is coming, right? There's an excitement to it. You know, but it's not just nature. It's not just this physical world that has transitions and seasons. It's also in the spiritual realm, in our spiritual walk, that we go through seasons and transitions, right? You know, you're walking through life and everything's just all great and wonderful and it's roses and it's rainbows and it seems like that, you know, God is just answering your every prayer and you're just being blessed on every side. And then suddenly it just seems like things go silent. And that doesn't feel as good, right? But it's an indication that something is about to shift and something is about to change. You know, you can be walking through life and everything is great and you get a phone call or a diagnosis or a disappointment in your life. And all of a sudden you know that your season is shifting. And you may say, God, what's happening? Everything was going so great. Why all of a sudden are things changing? But let me tell you this truth. Things are supposed to change. Things are supposed to change in your life. Because here's what God knows, that if He allows things to stay exactly the same in your life, you won't grow anymore. How many of you know that living things, alive things, they grow and they change, right? Let's look over in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. I'm going to be reading from the NLT today. It says, for everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven. What does this mean? This means nothing in your life is just random. You know, things just don't happen on a random Thursday, right? Everything is part of a larger story. It's a part of something bigger. You know, every ending makes room for a new beginning. If things don't end, the next thing can't begin. You know, you're not, it may seem as though you're being abandoned, but you're not. You're just being shifted and adjusted by a divine transition, right? You know, you cannot stop seasons from changing, not in the natural and not in the spiritual. But there is something that you can do. You can change the way that you respond to the season. You can change the way that you respond when seasons shift in your life. You have control over that. You can respond negatively and kicking and screaming and God, why? And griping and complaining. Or you can choose, instead of fighting your season, to find God in it. Find God in the season that you're going through. Because here's what I can tell you confidently. The same God that was in the last season is the same God that's in your future season. And when you know that God is good, not everything you go through is going to feel that great. But I can promise you God will be right there in it. And there is a plan and purpose for it. So let's take a look today. Point number one, every season has a purpose. Every season you go through has a purpose. Genesis 8:22 says, as long as the earth remains, there will be planting and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, right? Seasons, cycles. You know, God established seasons to represent cycles of faithfulness. Now, us humans, we like linear, right? We like to move from point A to B to C to D, right? We don't like to go backwards. We like to get there as fast as we possibly can, right? But here's the deal. God works in circles. He works in seasons. He plants, then he waters, then he grows, then he prunes, which we don't tend to like that season, right? That cycle. Then we produce, then there's a pause before there's a planting again, right? It's circular and not linear. And so every season in your life is either preparing you or producing in you. You're either being prepared or you're producing. And both are equally important. You know, we looked at Joseph a couple weeks ago. And we're going to look at him again. So if you want to read about the life of Joseph, it's in Genesis 37 through 50. You can go and you can read all about his life. But Joseph, the thing about him is that he went through very extreme seasons in his life. You know, it wasn't just like these little minor shifts and changes. So what do we know? Joseph went through a great season of favor, right? Joseph, his dad, gave him the coat of many colors, bypassed all of his brothers that were older, and, you know, put favor upon Joseph. So it was, you know, a season of favor. And then right after this wonderful season of favor, he went through the exact opposite, a season of betrayal, right? How extreme can you get? His brothers sold him into slavery, right? So a season of betrayal, and then he went through a season of faithfulness, faithfully serving in Potiphar's house. And he was like way up there in command. So, you know, he was high on life, and boom, the next season he went through false accusations and imprisonment. And he was imprisoned for many years. I mean, look at these extremes in the seasons. And then he finally got out of prison and had his season of fulfillment. And he became, you know, second in command over all of Egypt and helped lead it through the famine, right? But see, each season prepared him for the next. Each season had its purpose, right? If he hadn't gone through the pit, he wouldn't have learned humility. He wouldn't have learned how to depend on God. If he would have just skipped through prison, he wouldn't have learned leadership. Because if you read in the story, in the prison, he learned and he grew close to God and he was a leader in prison. And so even though from the natural standpoint, man, it seemed like Joseph's life was, you know, up and down and up and down in very extreme seasons, each season produced in him what was needed for the next. That's why God doesn't go linear, he goes circular. We have to trust in the fact that God knows what he's doing, even though it may seem uncomfortable to us. You know, I find it so interesting that even in psychology and in the science world, they've done research, and they've done research on change, right? And how it affects the brain. And I feel that this is very interesting because how many of you, if you're being honest, like you really don't like change, right? It's like, it's painful. I don't like it. I don't want to go through it. It's uncomfortable. Okay. Well, there is a reason why. There's a biological reason why. So research shows that change activates the same part in the brain as physical pain. So when things change in your life and you're going through season, it activates that same part of your brain that says, ouch, I'm in pain. And so that's why transition hurts sometimes. But the great thing about it is that you are the only person who can control how you respond to that. You know, the only difference between somebody being a victim and a victor is how you think about it. How you think about it, what you tell yourself about it. If you tell yourself, oh man, I was wronged. Everybody wronged me. I'm just, you know, poor old me. But if you tell yourself, you know what? I didn't do that. I was treated poorly, but you know what? That's not my story. My story is that I overcome that because I have God on the inside of me. The same thing can happen to you, that you can go through the same season of life and one person comes out a victim and the other person comes out a victor, and it is all in the way that you think about it and what you say about it. So we can choose how we want to respond. We can choose how we want to think about seasons, because some seasons are very painful. I've gone through painful seasons in my life, but when I look back at them, wow, there was such purpose. I could look back and see God in those seasons. I could look back and see the divine protection of God in those seasons. In the moment, I couldn't really see it, but when I got to the next season, I looked back and I said, wow, look at God. Look at where he's brought me. That's not going to define me. That's not going to be my story. This is my story. That's just how I got there. Right? So, how can we live this out in our life? How can we live out every season has a purpose? Instead of asking, why me? Why me, God? Ask this, what is this season shaping in me? See, it's just a little different response. Instead of why me, what is this shaping in me? Living this out, ask, what is God trying to eliminate or get rid of in my life that I don't need for the next season? Is God trying to prune something out of my life? Let's get it out. If it's not needed for the next season, I don't want it. Maybe it's an attitude. Maybe it's a pattern of behavior. Maybe it's a pattern of thought. Maybe it's being stingy and not giving as much as you could. Maybe it's being jealous. Maybe it's being prideful. What is it? Let's get rid of it. Stop asking why me and say, okay, God, I want to get through this season. What do I need to get out? Let's get it out. Let's work through this because I want to move on to the next season, right? It's just a simple mind adjustment. But it makes all the difference in the world. Amen? All right, number two, don't rush what God is ripening. Don't rush what God is ripening. You know, he's producing fruit in us, and how many of you know that fruit or vegetables, they take a while to like ripen and get ready. You can pick a peach off of a tree, but if it's not ripe, it's going to taste real sour, right? So don't rush what God is ripening. Let's look over in Galatians 6, verse 9. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. If we don't give up, we have to practice patience in what God is producing in us. You know, God will make a promise to you, but most of the time he doesn't show you the timeline, right? He doesn't show you the timeline, and usually between the promise and the payoff, there's a significant period of time, right? All right, let's look at Abraham and Sarah. Great example of rushing what God is ripening. So Abraham and Sarah, if you want to read this in depth, go to Genesis chapter 16 through chapter 21. You can read all about it. But basically, Abraham, before he had any kids, God said, Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations. Look up at the stars. Your descendants are going to be as many as the stars in the sky, right? And so, you know, he was super excited, told Sarah about it. They're living through their life and they're thinking, oh, okay, you know, we're going to have lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of kids. They're just going to be popping out like popcorn, you know? That was their, you know, timeline, right? And so years went by and years went by and years went by, and there was no child. The promise that God made Abraham had not yet produced the fruit. And so Sarah grew really impatient. She tired of what is doing right, right? Like we read over there in Galatians. And so she decided to take matters into her own hands. And so she, her servant Hagar, she said, okay, listen, God's needing a little help with this situation. He doesn't have it under control, so I've got to intervene. And so what did Sarah do? Sarah went to Abraham and said, okay, listen, I'm going to help God out. This is my servant Hagar. I want you guys to get together and let's see if it produces a child. So Abraham so willingly obliged. And it did. It produced a son. It produced Ishmael, right? But Ishmael wasn't the son of promise. That wasn't the promise of God, right? It was Sarah's plan. It was Sarah's intervention, right? So later on, you know, several years went by, and how many of you know God is always faithful to perform his promises? And so God made good on his promise, and Sarah, well into her, you know, what should have been, she shouldn't have been able to conceive. But she did, and Isaac was born. And that was the son of promise. But there was a problem. Because Sarah got impatient and produced Ishmael, that was her idea. But Isaac was God's idea. There was a huge clash, and there was division, and there was a lot of unnecessary pain that is still going on today from Isaac and Ishmael, because here's what we know, premature movement produces permanent complications. Premature movement produces permanent complications. If Sarah had just been patient, if Sarah had just let it ripen, if Sarah had just said, you know what? God's faithful to his promises, it would not have produced the permanent complications. See, when you rush the process, you trade the peace for the pressure. You know, God doesn't move in pressure. God always takes time to ripen the plan, to ripen the promise, because he knows the right time. So how do we live this out in our life? How do we not rush what God is trying to ripen? We need to stop trying to force what God said he'd fulfill. Just let him do it in his timeline. You know, stop trying to force it. You know, when you get something in prayer, when God tells you something that's a promise, the best thing you can do is say, okay, and walk away and forget about it. Don't meditate on it. Don't try to make it happen. Don't try to, you know, see when it's going to happen. Just let it ripen. God knows how to produce it in your life. You know, there is something that God spoke to me when I was 19 years old in prayer. I was 19 years old, and he spoke something to me about future plans for my life. Just this year, so that was, I've been 1992, just this year in 2025, it came to pass. 33 years later, right? It needed to ripen. It wasn't time. You know, so often when people, they get something, or maybe, you know, somebody gives a word, they try to rush it. They try to rush it. You can't do that. Let God do it. Ask yourself this. Am I creating an Ishmael or an Isaac? Which one are you creating? Are you forcing it? Are you trying to do it on your own? Are you impatient? And then remember this. The right thing at the wrong time is still the wrong thing. The right thing at the wrong time is still the wrong thing. See, we have to understand that there's a great big plan for our life. And we just have to trust that God is going to fulfill his promise and not interfere with our impatience. Amen. All right, number three, recognize the signs of a new season. Recognize the signs of a new season. You know, I see a lot of people that fail to flow into their new season because they're not recognizing the signs. Let's look over in Isaiah 43, verse 19. It says, "For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness." Right? Is the wilderness very comfortable? Mm-mm. But God said he would make a pathway through the wilderness. "I will create rivers in a dry wasteland." See, every new season is going to begin with some type of discomfort, right? Wilderness isn't comfortable. A dry land isn't comfortable. Change rarely feels like an opportunity at first. It feels like a disruption, right? Think about this. Think about the Israelites over in Exodus chapter 16. So the Israelites, you know, Moses had gone to Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." And he said, "No." And then he said, "Let my people go." And he said, "No." And all the plagues came. And finally, Pharaoh said, "All right, go." And so what did the Israelites do? Moses parted the Red Sea, right? God miraculously parted the Red Sea. They walked through on dry ground. They were leaving their season of captivity, and they were walking across to their new season of promise. But when they got into their new season of promise in the wilderness, it wasn't very comfortable because they didn't have enough food to eat. But yet God had just performed the miraculous, getting them over there. But it got a little uncomfortable. And sometimes you have to get a little uncomfortable before you get to your promised land, right? So they're in the wilderness, and then all of a sudden they're complaining. Oh, You know, we should have just stayed back in Egypt. We should have just stayed in slavery. At least we had enough food. They murmured and they complained. So God went to Moses and prayed, right? And then God provided manna, food from heaven, every day for them while they were in the wilderness. But see, they were trying to cling to their old season. They were not recognizing the signs of a new season. And if you're clinging to what God used to do, you'll miss the new thing that he's trying to do in your life. So what are some of these signs that your season is changing? You know, what used to fulfill you, what used to bring you great joy, just doesn't anymore, right? You start to complain like the Israelites. I have to wake up and, you know, go to this job, or, you know, I got to go do this volunteer position today. You know, it just doesn't fulfill you anymore. There's not the excitement. Things that were once so easy and flowed so easily, they just don't anymore. Could be a sign that you're, you know, kind of going through the wilderness, the discomfort before you get to the promised land, right? You might feel restless in your routine. You know, oftentimes, you know, God will stir you internally before he changes your season. You may become frustrated, you know, like, why are people doing this? And this is so frustrating. And if I was just in charge, I would make this decision. You start to get frustrated. But what I would submit to you is maybe it's not frustration, but it's divine agitation. That God is stirring something up on the inside of you because he's preparing to bring you into your promised land. You might have discontentment. You're just not content doing the same things. You know, I oftentimes think that people confuse burnout for birth pains. They say, oh, I'm burned out. Oh, I just need a break. Well, you know what? You might just be birthing something really great in your life. It may not be burnout. You may need to stop and assess what's going on. You know, maybe doors begin to close. That could be signs of a shifting season. You know, he might close some doors that you're not willing to shut yourself. Maybe he's been dealing with you about shutting doors, but you're not. So sometimes God will shut them for you, right? You know, closed doors aren't always rejection. They're just redirection. They're just redirection. God's getting ready to do something new. You know, another sign of, you know, a potential new season is that God begins to stretch you beyond your comfort, right? He begins to stretch your faith beyond your comfort. He's calling you into the unfamiliar. He's calling you into the illogical. You know, faith rarely grows in familiar ground. You have to step out even when you don't see the whole plan. You know, God may be asking you to give obedience without seeing the whole plan. It might just be a shifting of a season. And then your friends begin to shift. You know, this is one that a lot of people miss, a sign. You know, people are moving out of your life or they're moving in your life. And you know, it's not, you know, there's no contention or offense, but it's just, you know, you just seem not to have as much in common, or you're not quite as fulfilled when you hang out and you have lunch. It may be because that person is not going to be able to go with you to your next season. See, he might be aligning new people in your life for your new season. Doesn't mean anything's wrong with the company that you have. And those people were great for your past season, but some people won't go with you to your new seasons. You'll have divine disconnection. So how do we live this out? What do we do when we're recognizing that seasons change? Pay attention to the restlessness, to the discontentment. You know, when it feels hard, pay attention. It might just be divine transition. Now listen to me. Divine transition doesn't always have to do with your physical location, right? It could just be, hey, God's bringing you into a season where you're going to be more hospitable and you're going to be inviting people into your home when your doors have been shut for a really long time. It could mean he's shifting you into a new volunteer area in the church. You know, as somebody who oversees a lot of volunteers, I see the signs of transition all over a volunteer. You know, they used to be the perfect volunteer and now they're late and they grumble and they complain and they're discontent. And I'm like, open up your eyes. God's shifting you into a new season, right? And everybody around them knows it but them. You know, there are lots of different areas in the church to volunteer, and each one you're going to learn something, and it's going to produce a character in you that you might need for your next season. But you have to be aware of it. You have to be open to it. When old doors close, stop knocking, right? Start walking towards new ones. If a door gets slammed in your face, don't keep knocking, saying, I want my old season back. I want to go back to Egypt. I want to go back to that slavery. Walk away from it and look for the new door that God has for you. Ask God, hey, God, what habits, what systems, what routines am I keeping? What friends am I keeping that are no longer going to serve me in the next season? I want to get rid of that so that I can move on. Number four, trust God's timing more than your timeline. Trust God's timeline more than your timeline. Let's look over in Habakkuk. All right. It's not a book we go to very often. And so we're going to read Habakkuk 2:3. Now, just to give a little background in the first chapter and the second chapter. So Habakkuk was a prophet and he was complaining and just kind of like arguing and going back and forth with God, right? Because Babylon had captured Judah and, you know, the people in Judah were in a really bad spot and sinning and, you know, there were supposed to be all these good things. And so Habakkuk was like, God, what's the deal? You know, you said that you would do this, but you're not doing it and I don't see it. And can you hurry up and come on, what's the deal? So he was kind of arguing back and forth with God. And then this is what God said to Habakkuk over in 2:3. It says, this vision is for a future time. See, God had given Habakkuk a prophecy, a vision, but it was for a future time. But Habakkuk was trying to make it come to pass in the here and now. This vision is for a future time. It describes the end, and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. See, God's timing rarely matches our schedule. Rarely, right? Because he sees the whole thing. We only see in part, but he sees the whole thing. And there's people that he has to move in and out. There's things in you that he has to adjust. He's preparing you because he cannot take you into some seasons without preparation, because you would get in that season and you would fail. Right? We looked at David over in 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. It's the whole story of David. And we looked at David, and we looked at his season, of waiting, long pause, right? 2 weeks ago. You know, David was anointed king as a young boy, but it was years and years and years and years and years later before he came king, right? We talked all about it. We talked about between the appointment and the anointing, there was that pause of time where he fought giants. He led soldiers. He even had to go on the run for his life, and he hid in the cave of Adullam. And we talked all about that 2 weeks ago, that he was hiding out for his life in a cave for about 10 to 15 years. I mean, there was a long pause, right? But it was God's timeline. There were things that were working in David. There were things that had to be prepared in his life. There were things that he had to learn. There are things that he had to go through and endure, because when he got to the palace, he was going to need all of those things to be successful. And God works in the pause. He works in the silence, even when we can't hear it. So how do we live this out? How do we live this out in our life? Don't confuse delay with denial. Just because it's not now doesn't mean it's not ever. Just because it's not happening in your timeline doesn't mean that God is saying, no, it's never going to happen. Trust his timeline. You know, use that season of waiting to strengthen your connection with God. Don't waste that season. Don't waste it, but use it. Number five, your roots determine your resilience. Your roots determine your resilience. In seasons of life, in the shifting seasons of life, your roots will determine your resilience. Let's look over in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7 and 8. Says this, "But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit." See, your roots will determine your resilience. Your strength in one season to the next will depend on your roots going down deep into God. That is your foundation, your roots. I mean, think about this. Think about a tree, right? What happens in the winter? Its leaves fall off. Is the tree dead? Mm-mm. Those roots go down deep into the earth, and they're alive, and it doesn't stop producing. It is just paused for a moment for the winter, but it's still alive. Life is still flowing through that tree. And how you know it is that when spring comes, you start to see little buds on that tree for the new leaves. See, an alive tree never stops producing fruit, even if from the outside it may appear to it. It's because its root system doesn't die. The only time a tree doesn't produce fruit is when it dies, when its roots die. See, change will always come, but our roots going down deep, what's beneath the surface, what's beneath this, right? What you do in your private time, what you say in your private time, that's your root system. Your root system is not coming to church and praising the Lord. That's just your leaves. Your roots are what happen in the midnight hour when you're alone and no one's watching. Are they connected to God? Are they staying connected to God? Are you being drawn away? And are your roots starting to wither? Daniel, he was a great example of serving faithfully, of his roots going down deep into God, of not letting circumstances around him, seasons around him, change him or move him. You know, Daniel served faithfully under four different kings, right? Empire shifted, laws changed. Even when there was a law that, hey, one king said, hey, you cannot pray anymore, didn't affect Daniel. His roots went down deep. And he still prayed faithfully 3 times a day. And he wasn't even concerned when he got thrown into the den of lions because his roots went down deep. He knew that God would save him. See, oftentimes why we bend to culture and it shifts is because our roots don't go down deep enough into God's word. When your roots go down deep enough into God's word, it does not matter what's happening in the world around you. It does not matter what's happening in the circumstances around you, because you know the word of God and you know that you never stop producing fruit. See, storms don't create weakness, they reveal depth. When people go through storms in their life, you automatically know how deep their roots go by their response. When they question God, when they complain and the why me, you know their roots don't go down very deep. Storms reveal depth. How do we live this out? Right? Build rhythms and routines of prayer and of scripture before you need them. Amen. You know, the worst time to read your Bible and pray is when you actually need it. I mean, you still should. But the best time to read your Bible and to pray is before you need it. If the only time you're talking with God is if you're like, hey, God, I need a favor. That's the only time you're talking to him, your roots don't go down very deep. And eventually you will die. So build rhythms, build routines of scripture and prayer before you even need them. So that when the winter time comes, because it will, right? What did Jesus say? In this life you will have troubles, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. A winter season will come, but as long as your roots go down deep in God, you will still produce fruit and you won't die. And when you hit the next season, you'll be full of life and you'll be so green with life. When the environment changes around you, when the world changes around you, stay anchored to your source, not your circumstance. Stay anchored to your source. And stay planted in community, not in isolation. Stay planted in community. You know, you want your roots to go down deep, come to church. Be in community, be in fellowship. We're not meant to do life alone. It's part of our root system is the church, right? In closing, you know, every season of your life, whether it's a fruitful, a summer, a spring season, whether it's a fall or a winter season where it's hard. What I know and what you know now is that every season carries a divine purpose. Every season. God doesn't waste a season. God doesn't waste a moment. He's with you. He has it all planned out. Even before you were born, he looked down the timeline of eternity and he saw you from beginning to end. And he was like, wow, that's so good. Yeah. Nothing takes him by surprise. The same God who began that good work in you, still working in you today, and will continue to work in you until you are mature and complete and whole. Last scripture over in Psalms chapter 1, verse 3 says, they are like trees planted along the river bank, bearing fruit in each season. Their leaves never wither, and they will prosper in all they do. You know, season changes, and they shift and they move, but our Savior never does. He stays the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's why in each season of life, if you'll not fight it, but you'll find God in it, you will find stability because he is the one who never changes. God said our seasons would, but God never changes. And we can find stability in every single season, knowing that it's producing something really good in our lives. Amen. Amen. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the seasons of life, God. Lord, help each one of us to recognize the seasons of life, to recognize when it's time to shift and when it's changing. God, help us to rely on you. God, help us to rely on you and your word. Father, help our roots go down so deep that no matter what storms of life come, no matter how dry the seasons get, that we'll get our life, we'll get our water, we'll get our strength from you, and that we will never stop producing fruit, that we will always be alive through you. And we thank you, Father, that the good work that you began in us, you will continue until the very end. I want to give an invitation. If you're here today and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, and you want to, I want to give you that opportunity today. If you'll just raise your hand, if you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior and you want to today, just slip up your hand. Or maybe you once were serving God and you drifted away and you've ran away from him. This morning you can run just as easily back. He's waiting there with open arms, ready to welcome you if you'll just lift your hand. Or maybe you say, you know, I'm saved, I'm walking with God, but I don't speak in tongues. I've never opened up that gift of speaking in tongues that's available for all believers, and I want to today. If you'll just lift up your hand. Anybody on any three of those invitations, don't miss this chance. Anybody. Is there anybody out there? You want to be saved for the very first time? You want to rededicate your life? Or you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues? Anybody? All right. Well, I'm glad we're all believers in here, but it always makes me a little sad because that's what the church is for. Makes me sad when nobody comes forward to make Jesus the Lord of our life. So, you know what? Next week, invite somebody that doesn't know Jesus. Because, you know, we come here, you know, and it's great to hear a message and get strengthened, but I want to get people saved. I want people who don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I want to change their direction from hell to heaven. That's what we're called to do, right? To preach the gospel. So church, let's do that. I challenge you, invite somebody next week to church that doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior so that we have the opportunity and they have the opportunity to change the course of their destiny. Amen. Amen. Well, first-time guest, if you're here, those connection team members will take you to our connection center. Our pastoral staff is going to head to the doors up on the screen. That is where they all are going to be. And tonight, 6 p.m., right back here, we've got our Sunday night service. Don't forget Wednesday, Hour of Power. We love you guys so much. We hope you have a wonderful day, a wonderful week, and we will see you next Sunday morning.